Hanging on to the edge of the bottom of a peninsula, this is Martin Zunder, and that's just what I'm doing. Hanging on. Look where I am geographically. It's perfect. I'm hanging on to the edge of the bottom of a peninsula, jutting out into the Atlantic Ocean. So typically perfect, really. I'm here no less than John was at Patmos, put there on a rocky island, set apart from the mainland, isolated for the sake of the vision. I feel I'm no less located, no less perfectly located by God for what I have to do to close out this eon, and it's lonely. It's really lonely. On the edge of the bottom of a peninsula. This looks like it's trying to run away from the rest of the country and get down to the equator. And you, wherever you are perfectly located. Which reminds me of Paul telling, maybe it was the Philippians, don't remember who, do not be alarmed by these trials that you see us undergoing, for you must know that we are located for this. We're located for this. You are perfectly located geographically and in the confluence, in the middle of the river, of the confluence of events that come into your life, you're perfectly placed for those events to come and get you and hit you, go around you, crash into you, go over your head, whatever they do. You're perfectly located. You're not going to be forsaken. You're not going to be forgotten by God. No, he's not run away to leave you boiling in the pot. He is supervising everything you're going through right now. I promise you that. Well, how can he not? The Spirit of God makes its home in us, and it doesn't leave. And we are designated members of the body of Christ. God has us on little pinpoints on his giant celestial map. He's got a map. It's in the celestials, but it's not of the celestials. No, he has a map of the earth. And he has it stretched out flat like this on the wall. It's a wall map. It's not a globe. It's a wall map. And he has little red push pins. And everywhere there's a little push pin, that's where there's a member of the body of Christ. And he has a little video camera watching you. And he knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're doing. There's one. There's one. There's one. Once in a while, a celestial being will look over his shoulder. And they'll see where all the members of the body of Christ are. And there aren't many push pins on the map. Once in a while, he'll have to bring a new push pin out of his little push pin dispensary and place it on the map. We have a new member of the body of Christ. Yay! Yay! What are they going to go through? Yeah. And the new member of the body of Christ is like the 11th hour laborer. Comes in at the last. We could resent it. Could say, well, we've suffered for years. Paul could resent it. But he doesn't. Again, as I told you yesterday, he doesn't resent anything we're going through. What we're going through is harrowing. If I brought Paul into this world cold, just brought him in with no preparation, no acclimatization, that man would be shocked. He would probably die of shock under 5 minutes. He'd be dead. You have to have a paramedic there to administer Paul some kind of drug or to shock his heart back because he would be, I would take him to Fort Lauderdale Airport, just stand there. Yeah, the man would have a coronary. Or we just collapse from fear. On the edge of the peninsula. The bottom edge. Now the unveiling could not be given while there was the least hope of Israel's national repentance. Again, God waits till there's no hope. It was delayed until after the present economy of God's grace had been established by Paul's latest epistles. It was delayed. All this stuff was happening in the first century. The revelation of Jesus Christ was delayed until Paul's gospel, the gospel of God's grace, had been established. It's unfolding night. Oh, its unfolding might have modified Israel's course had they been made known much earlier. It was delayed until after the present economy, Paul's latest epistle, its unfoldings might have modified Israel's course. Of course, the unfolding of the book of Revelation, had it happened sooner, might have changed the course. They might have seen this and they would have reacted differently. Maybe there would have been a national repentance based on this writing. Might have become a bestseller. Who knows? John, the seer from Patmos, presents. And here's Revelation coming on, and they're seeing their history unfolded. But God doesn't want this, so he waits until there's no hope. He waits until they're not reading the book anymore. The Thessalonians were deluded into the idea that the period of this unveiling was already present in their day, even before John wrote. The Thessalonians weren't nuts. We think the Thessalonians were crazy. How could they possibly think that, since we're 2,000 years removed from it, how could they think that the end times were possibly upon them? But they did. They weren't stupid. They were Greeks. They were smart. Way smarter than we are in many ways. Not personally, but their culture. The future set before the saints ever since is imminent salvation at the presence of Christ, to be followed by the destruction of those who do not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, Paul, I think it's 1:10. I think this is a misprint. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul is hinting at the return of Christ. He says, we will be having ease. We of the members of the body of Christ will be having ease at the unveiling of Jesus Christ, coming down in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who do not obey the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are the people being smitten by the trials of Revelation, not only are they apostate Israel people, they're apostate Paul people. Not apostates, they never came into Paul. They don't know it. They don't hear it. They don't hear and heed it. They haven't been given an antenna for it. If they had an antenna, they would pick up the frequency, but they don't. The future set before the saints ever since, that is us, the members of the body of Christ, is imminent salvation at the presence of Christ, to be followed by the destruction of those who do not love the truth, as recorded in this apocalypse. So Paul mentions it obliquely in 2 Thessalonians 1:10. But it's described, recorded in gruesome detail in the apocalypse. I'm reading again from A.E. Knox's book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, one of the last sections here called The Coming of Christ. There is a mistaken notion that the events of this unveiling were to take place soon after they were revealed. This is not the case. No prediction to that effect could be made. It is God's desire to keep the coming of Christ vividly and vitally before the hearts of his saints. See, this is the reason we're not given dates. Why are we not given dates? Because God wants us to be in mystery. He wants us to be impatient. He wants us to get discouraged. No, it's the opposite. It's so that we can look forward to it every day. Let's say the snatching away is going to be next Wednesday, whatever that date is, sometime in November, right? So what would that have done for the saints of Paul's day? It would have discouraged the crap out of them. They wouldn't have even understood the year, 2017. What is that? 2017. What does that mean? That it can't mean 2,000 years from our date, can it? It can't mean that, can it, Paul? Paul's like, I've never seen those numbers either. I don't know what that means. That would be horrific for those people. Yeah, great for us. Great for us. I'd love to have that date next Wednesday, whatever it is. Love it. But I'm not that selfish. Because if that date was in the scriptures, it would have demoralized the people looking for it in Paul's day. And God wants it near and dear to our hearts. He doesn't want us to forget it. He doesn't want us becoming discouraged. And when dates come and go, this is why nobody sets dates. I've never set a date. September 23rd wasn't my date. I said it was a possibility. That's what Knock is saying here. Every minute is a possibility. That's the point. You can't stop looking for the return of Christ just because some date that you thought maybe it should have happened then didn't. It doesn't change anything, people. This thing is just as set to happen like a mousetrap. It's just as set to happen as it was in 70 AD. Just as set. Do you understand that? Good. I was getting so excited I just ripped a page out of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I literally tore it right out of there. Not trying to. No prediction to that effect could be made. It is God's desire to keep the coming of Christ vividly and vitally before the hearts of his saints. Hence, so far as their knowledge could go, it has been imminent ever since this scroll was written. The next moment of our lives may be spent in his presence. The next moment of our lives may be spent in his presence. Not death, but life is our expectation. We don't expect death. Death is not our expectation. If you're planning for your funeral, why are you doing that? If you're pre-buying a grave plot, why are you doing that? Number one, it's depressing to think about. Number two, you have to actually go into the mortuary and order it and look at it and pick out a stone. Oh, this one's nice. I would like to see this stone sitting 6 feet above my rotting corpse. Forget about it. You can live footloose and fancy free, my friends, because the deliverance is imminent. It's imminent. Quit doing crazy things like preparing for your death. Not death, but life is our expectation. That's our expectation, life. So we do all this stuff here on earth that we have to do to get by, but this is fine. I've said many times it's fine. I have this little glass globe here sitting on my shelf that, oh, it makes me so happy. But does it engage me to the point that I'm not looking forward to life, to seeing Christ? No. I told you I want to see Christ. I also want to see Charlie Kronk, Nelson Cardwell, and Tryphena and Tryphosa. The next moment of our lives may be spent in his presence. Not death, but life is our expectation. After we are removed out of the midst, the judgments detailed in this book will move swiftly to their close. Once these things start, and I was just talking to a friend yesterday about so many mousetraps are set in the Middle East. And all it takes is that first domino to fall, and baby, they're all going to fall. When the first domino falls, they're all going to fall. Go to YouTube and watch one of those videos of dominoes toppled or domino exhibition, and you'll see dominoes, like thousands, literally 100,000 dominoes falling, falling, falling. It takes time. Even when the first domino starts falling, it takes time for all the dominoes to fall. After we are removed out of the midst, the judgments detailed in this book will move swiftly to their close. Why emphasize their speed? Because they are God's strange work. God's strange work is judgment, wholesale killing. It's a strange work. It's strange because this doesn't seem like God. Well, God wouldn't do anything like this. Oh, but he does, and he will. But he does it quickly because it's distasteful. He hastens through these horrors, for they are alien to his heart. Do you hear that? The horrors of Revelation are alien to God's heart. And whatever horror he's putting you through is alien to his heart. That's really not what he deep down in his heart of hearts wants to do to you, but he has to do it. So he kind of does it swiftly. It doesn't seem like it to you, I know, because you're in it. And so the minutes plod along and you get discouraged. That's why you're watching this show. That's why I'm talking to you. I'm exhorting you to maintain the faith, to not be dissuaded from Christ by whatever trial you're going through. He's on it. He's monitoring it. You're a pushpin on his map in the celestials. The magistrates, the 24 elders are looking over his shoulder. I see you got one over there in Missouri. I see you got one up there in Indiana. I see you got one over there in Norway. Oh, you got four in Norway. Wow. Four pushpins in Norway. It's an epidemic of faith in Norway. There are four believers. This is what we're looking at today. four believers in Norway. You heard Eric sitting right here last week talking about, maybe it was this week, four believers that he knows of in Norway. And that's probably all there are. That rings true to me. In a country, and they don't even get together. They're separated. They're scattered around the country. They're not in one place. Because that's one of the trials God's putting us through. To test us, to try us, to get us ready. We're being tempered. Our faith is being solidified or it's going away. It's one of the two, people. Either your faith is being solidified or it's going away. I know it's being challenged. I'm not saying it's not being challenged. It is. My faith also gets challenged. But like Rocky, we rise to the challenge. What are you going to do? Fall down and die? Are you going to take the 10 count? Huh? Are you going to let Apollo Creed stand over you and mock you as you lay inert on the canvas? No. You're not going to do that. Because I am persuaded of better things concerning you. I am your friend. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you get away with any lapses of faith. I'm not going to let you go crazy. I'm not going to let you give up on this. I won't do it. I will not leave you or forsake you. And I told you when this video series is over, there may be a week or two where you're going to watch the greatest hits. It'll be great. It'll be entertaining. Some shows from the bunker days. But that's so that I can bring up another show to you. That's so I can come up with some nice, great new presentation to bring you truth every day. This time from the Apostle Paul, every day. We're in this together. He hastens through these horrors, for they are alien to his heart, as are the trials he's putting you through. He doesn't really like doing it. That's not his thing. He doesn't get up in the morning. What new trial can I bring to Martin Zender? No. It's almost like, what new trial do I have to bring to Martin Zender to finish him off? Not finish him off in the sense of leveling me, bringing me down to the canvas with a left hook. No. Finishing me off in the polish department. Yes, the beautiful piece of art that I am. If you can believe this, it's still slightly imperfect, so he's got to polish off an edge. Now that nearly two millenniums. Is it proper to put an S after millenniums? I thought it was millennia. Anyway, now that nearly two millenniums have passed since the giving of this prophecy, we can see in the word speedily a broad hint that the present era would be protracted, for it overflows with grace, which is the highest harmony, which is in the highest harmony with his heart. Okay, yeah. Grace is in the highest harmony with God's heart. He loves it. He loved this. He loves this administration because it's grace, grace, grace. And it could be protracted for that reason, seeing as though the judgments of Revelation will be contracted because it doesn't agree with God's heart. The era of grace could be protracted because it does agree with God's heart. However, it is not going to be protracted because there is a limit even to grace. God wants there to be a limit. It does end. It will end. It must end. Because even though we're in an administration of grace, we're still suffering. We're still undergoing trial. This is not natural. I mean, this is not our destiny. Our destiny is not to be frustrated, not to be eternally frustrated. That's not what you're going through. It's not your destiny. It's not what you're supposed to be feeling by nature. We are by nature, our realm is inherent in the celestials. That's our, when we get there, it's going to be like, oh my God, yes, this is what I was born for. Of course, everything you're going through now is in some way a foreign experience. I mean, the trials within it are not a foreign experience. Within the foreign experience, we're having unforeign experiences, but the whole damn thing is foreign to us. It's like we're in some weird world. We're in some warped realm. Some parallel universe where we shouldn't be. I shouldn't be here. What the hell am I, Martin Zender, doing here? I'm hanging on the edge of a peninsula. The bottom of the edge of the peninsula by my fingernails. What am I doing here? Well, I'm being polished and I'm being perfected. And so are you. And when we get to our celestial home, it'll be, ah, yes, finally. This is what I was born for. What took so long?